This is CBSI on the World. I'm John Batchelor. A plot to assassinate the National Security Advisor, former of the United States of America. Sounds like the first chapter of a thriller. I welcome John Bolton. The New York Times reports the Justice Department charged a member of Iran's Islamic Revolutionary Guard Corps on Wednesday, that's within these hours, with plotting to assassinate John R. Bolton, who served as National Security Advisor to President Donald J. Trump. Prosecutors said the Iranian had offered $300,000 to hire someone to kill Mr. Bolton, who is described by the New York Times as a conservative foreign policy expert and hardliner on Iran. John, a very good evening to you. I welcome John Bolton, the hardliner on Iran, and ask what your first thought was when they put a number on your head, John, you know, wanted dead or alive, 300,000. That's a new standard for National Security Advisor. Good evening to you, John.
Good evening. Well, I was disappointed. I was hoping for more than that, but I guess maybe it has something to do with adverse currency exchange rates or something.
Yes, and well, we can count on the Iranians trying to get something at a discount. Now, the identification in this story says this was related to the targeted killing of Qasem Soleimani in January of 2020. The man's name, the conspirator, is at large. His name is Shahram Poursafi, 45 years old. Do we know anything about him, John? Do we know anything about if this is attached to Soleimani, or is that a guess?
Well, I think it's much more than a guess. I mean, I think obviously what this charging document that was unsealed today reveals is the information that would be admissible in court if this fellow were ever arrested pursuant to the warrant that's been issued, and we were able to get him before a judge and a jury in this country. But there's certainly more there. I think one of the interesting things is how much detail is released in the charging document. And I think that's intended as a signal to Iran as much as anything to show just how much we know about their operation, at least with respect to me. But obviously, I'm not the only American civilian who's been the target of Iran. The official statements by the Department of Justice and the FBI, they make that clear. And that's really what's outrageous about the conduct. It's that they're trying to kill Americans on American soil because they think they can get away with it.
My measure of this, John, is that we'll learn more in coming days. But right now, I just reported within days that the Europeans have given their final draft for the reawakened JCPOA. This seems strange timing to kill an American official while the Europeans are making nice with Tehran.
Well, my guess is there was considerable debate inside the Biden administration with the Justice Department, and I'm an alumnus of Justice, so I know how it operates, pushing to make this public, to get it out, to get the international warrant out and that sort of thing. And the Department of State and the White House, and I'm an alumnus of both of them, too, pushing not to make it public for fear of interfering with the deal. I've heard another theory, which is it's now so certain that the Biden administration will rejoin the deal that they figure even making this case public won't undercut that possibility. I don't know the answer. I know the administration is desperate to get back in the deal, and maybe they just hope that this was inevitable and that they can still find a way to give away enough to the Iranians that they'll allow us to come back in.
Your essay, most recently at the National Review, speaks to Taiwan, but the general theme, what connects the Iranian depredations with the threats by the PLA, is the idea of risk, high risk, political risk factors. As you argue very cogently, the risk never went away. And so making a complaint about Mrs. Pelosi going to Taiwan at this point didn't reintroduce threat. It's always with us. Is that a story that's commonplace in Washington, that they forget that we're under attack all the time, John?
Well, I think we've been in a long process of forgetting since the end of the Cold War. Remember, 30 years ago when the Soviet Union collapsed, people were saying it's the end of history. You know, the West has won. Peace has broken out. And you'll recall we had the peace dividend in Washington and Europe, and defense budgets were cut dramatically. And people hoped that globalization was all about trade and really what could go wrong. And I think we were just operating under a misapprehension. There was a partial wake-up call from that on 9/11. But even now, people have lost the lesson there. But what Pelosi's visit did, I think, was cause Beijing to rip the mask off. What we saw in their reaction to a visit, literally a visit, bringing no weapons, anything but a diplomatic presence, we saw the real face of the Beijing government. And that was always there. But for a long time, people had not seen it, in part because that was the Chinese approach. Deng Xiaoping called the policy, hide your strengths and bide your times, or hide and bide. Well, the hiding has stopped, and I think the biding has stopped, too.
And you believe the allies of the United States, I'm looking at Japan, you Japan, the allies of the United States now join in an understanding that the PLA is a hostile force. Has that happened, John?
Yes, I think our Asian and Indo-Pacific friends generally are out ahead of us. They're in the neighborhood. They see the threat up close. It's why Shinzo Abe, tragically assassinated a few weeks ago, was pushing for what he called the Quad, India, Australia, Japan, and the United States, to take stronger steps against the Chinese threat. Many other countries along the Indo-Pacific periphery of China feel the same way. There's a crying need for American leadership, and a year and a half into the Biden administration, we don't have it, even though he talked a good deal about China during the campaign.
You don't make peace with your friends. That's an old proverb, John, from the 20th century. Right now, we're looking to make peace with our enemy, Iran, and we're looking to, in some fashion, encourage the Chinese to do better with exports to America by dropping tariffs? Is that the policy now? Friends with Tehran and trade partners with Beijing, knowing both are hostile.
Look, I think this is a reversion in many respects to the policies of the Obama administration. I think they failed then. I think they'll fail now. It's like there's no learning process among the people who used to work for Obama and now work for Biden. And honestly, no real chance we're going to see a change for the next 2.5 years. I mean, whatever happens in the election in November, if Republicans gain control of the House, especially if they gain control of the Senate, will have a big impact on domestic legislation and domestic policy. But foreign policy is largely the province of the executive branch. So I don't see much prospect for change. And I think that's worrying because our allies are nervous. Take the Ukraine crisis. About the extent of our leadership. They see weakness in Europe already. They expect us to be able to overcome it, and I don't think we're doing that.
The PLA threats to Taiwan, we're told the exercises have stopped now. What did Beijing achieve? What did Xi Jinping achieve, to your understanding, John?
Well, I think they got some operational benefit of all these operations together in the vicinity of Taiwan. I think that certainly was a plus for them. But on the other hand, the underlying capacities have existed for some time. And to make this a teachable moment, now people can see what they could do. These are the prerequisites, possibly for a ground invasion, possibly for a sea blockade. We see that they can do it. The threat is real. It wasn't that the threat didn't exist before Pelosi went, but now we see it. And, we should make lemonade out of this lemon, and it should increase our thinking about how to help Taiwan defend itself, how we bring Taiwan into larger Indo-Pacific defensive structures, and how we work with allies out there who, as I say, are very, very concerned about this Chinese belligerence.
John Bolton served as National Security Advisor to President Donald Trump, as U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations under President George W. Bush. I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.